8:40 the time. We've been having a lot of fun here this morning with a great nonsensical debate, which are always the fun ones when no one's feelings can get hurt, of course. But we're wanting to know our bowlers, golfers, and NASCAR drivers, athletes. Keep the responses coming in. We're loving having this argument. Bowlers, golfers, NASCAR drivers, are they athletes? Joining us once again in the Aloe Fiber Studios.
Speaking of people who love arguments.
Speaking of people, it's difficult to win an argument against.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to pick one with Havala.
Sometimes you guys try.
I love the
challenge. No, I do. By the way, when you were in yesterday, the intro music he played by Metallica is the best one yet. He played Whiskey in the Jar yesterday.
Yeah, we commented on it, I think, last week, and I think that's why Angel did it again. I'm giving him lots of props.
Is that right? He has no idea. That face means I don't know.
I mean, I use a Metallica playlist, and I just go with what I think sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know she's not going to get upset over any Metallica song I pick.
Any of it.
Well, You're the only one that he aims to please, too, when it comes to our guests.
It's amazing. I think tomorrow I'm going to have to bring in burritos from the Merc.
I think that's a great idea.
I believe.
I owe you. It's
true.
Like for all of us, though, right?
Right, but Angel especially.
I'm getting three burritos.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Note to self, bring in five.
Five burritos. Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal joining us. Okay, we're going to switch over to a very difficult topic here, one that broke late yesterday afternoon. $19 million payout to the family of Christian Glass. Havala, as you've watched this, we'll have questions, but first walk us through how this all came about, the shooting and that side of things.
So my understanding is that Christian Glass had a mental breakdown. He called into 911 and kind of said some crazy things, like, I have a knife, I'm going to do some stuff. But he wasn't really particular about what he was going to do. So law enforcement responded to a mental health crisis. And it wasn't just one agency. I believe there were four agencies that responded to this scene, including CSP. And then Glenwood Springs, I think, was one. And then Idaho Springs was another. So with that being said, they all kind of convene on this scene in this mental health crisis. They assess pretty quickly that there's no reason for them to be contacting this individual. So his mental health crisis has not escalated to a point where he's homicidal or suicidal. They don't have any indication that he's going to hurt himself or others. There's no crime that they can articulate. And at that point, there's some documentation indicating that a CSP supervisor said, look, there's no reason for us to continue to engage in contact with him. We need to back off. Well, one of the officers didn't. And there's some talk about...
Sorry, just a quick question. When it comes to, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, but wouldn't State Patrol have, like, is there such a thing? It's like command of the crime scene? Like, there hasn't been a crime that was committed, but who would have control over making that call? Is it the first people there? Is it the county? Is it the State Patrol? Do you know the answer to that, Havala?
Yeah, so I believe Glenwood's... Whoever the deputies were that got in
Clear
trouble.
Creek County.
Yes. So I think Clear Creek County had jurisdiction.
Okay.
These other agencies that responded, Idaho, Glenwood, and CSP, were all just backup.
Okay.
Which happens, especially in these smaller jurisdictions, because people are so far away that anybody that's nearby when something bad is happening will show up.
Right.
So they indicated to other agencies, we need help. This could be a problem for us. So after CSP kind of said, and I think I've mentioned this before, the weird thing about CSP is they're on a completely different dispatch system. So I would expect that Clear Creek County, Glenwood Springs, and Idaho Springs are probably on the same dispatch system. And then you have CSP on the state system, which they do not talk to one another. So what happens is you have dispatchers talking to one another and then conveying those messages to law enforcement. So it kind of becomes a long game of telephone. So even though CSP had kind of decided that nothing really criminal is going on, the other officers continue to engage. And there's some notation, especially in the criminal charges that came down against the two deputies, that one person really tried to intervene and like try to de-escalate. And there was one particular officer that kind of continued to escalate the conversation with this Christian Glass. And then at some point, somebody got antsy, started shooting. And when that happens, it, like almost everybody just starts shooting because they don't know where all the shots are coming from. So when you have something like that where it's so clear that law enforcement shouldn't have even been interacting with this individual, there was no reason to detain. There was no reason for them to continue to try to have these conversations. And they escalated the situation. And then from that point caused somebody's death. That's why all these agencies got sued. And then that's why all these agencies ended up paying out.
Yeah, a record-breaking settlement of $19 million. So I didn't know that a civil settlement could get solved before a criminal case was charged. Now, because the criminal case is still ongoing, correct?
It's charged, just not resolved. There's no convictions, yes. It's still ongoing.
Right, so the criminal case is, but the civil settlement's done, and this is done. Doesn't that kind of set a precedent for how the criminal case is going to go, or are they just completely separate?
No, so certain evidence comes in certain cases, and what you do in the civil side of things is not really relevant to whether or not these deputies acted criminally when they shot and killed Christian Glass. So that shouldn't come in as part of evidence, but I'm sure that they will talk about this in jury selection, where they'll go, look, you know, this has been in the news. Can you be fair? Can you judge this on the evidence that you hear in this case, which is not going to include the settlement?
It's interesting. Clear Creek County is going to pay $10 million. The Colorado State Office of Risk Management on behalf of the CSP and Department of Revenue will pay $3 million. The town of Georgetown will pay $5 million. And the city of Idaho Springs will pay $1 million. So they found that everyone who responded there played some sort of a role in this.
For those of us who don't know exactly what happened, I mean, what occurred? You said there was shooting started. What happened?
The video was the officer was on the hood of the
vehicle.
Okay,
I saw a video of him standing and with gun drawn at the driver, correct?
Correct. And I believe that's where the fatal shot came from, was the officer on top of the
hood. But where was the initial shots from?
I believe the officer from
I don't believe he had a gun.
He was
he said he had a knife, but I don't know that they ever located one.
I don't.
How does that escalate to standing on the roof, aiming your gun, and shooting somebody?
It was a bad police officer. Yeah. I mean, that's that. At the end of the day, it was just a horrible police officer who got antsy with the situation. And we've talked a lot about the mental stuff that these police officers go through. I don't envy the situation, but this is why the training of police officers is so important, and why we talk about law enforcement, you know, reform and things like that. This is why it's been in the news, is because you get one of these officers every once in a while that just was not prepared for the situation and escalated it, and it resulted in the death of a young man that didn't need to happen.
Well, I thought I understood what it was, and I did. It just didn't seem like it could actually be that.
But in a lot of these situations, when you get to this point, what you're seeing is ego. The officer probably shouldn't have been given a badge in the first place, because they are not the kind of person that understands that there are times when they don't have authority and they need to walk away. And that's exactly how the indictment reads, especially when you have a CSP sergeant saying, we have no reason to continue contact. We need to go.
Yeah, that's wow. So let me just justifiable verdict.
Right. Well, and the criminal hasn't even the criminal, because this was a murder. I mean, at the end of the day, this is where it was.
That's
this police officer murdered this young man. I know that they're going to be naming a park after him and stuff like that. So $19 million, I mean, I would imagine this is going to, and it did, it kind of raised the attention of everybody in the nation of this. And now Clear Creek County has to establish a crisis response team by 2025. They had already been working on this this plan, but now they put a deadline on it. The idea is to help get someone trained to deal with crisis, just like Christian Glass is, nonviolently. The county is hoping to get someone on retention for crisis response right away.
Okay, and let's really talk about that, because you hear a lot of bad commentary around this slogan, defund the police. That is literally, like, what they are doing right there is part of the defunding the police. And they're not really taking away funding from the police. What they're doing is they're articulating law enforcement is there to deal with crimes and community safety. And then these people, crisis intervention, is specially trained to deal with mental health crises. So when you're talking about defunding the police, this is what it is.
This is a portion of it, I would say. I wouldn't say, because this is just reallocating money for a unit inside of there, right? I mean, this is in essence, yes, reallocating money. So I guess defunding from the basic principle of it. But a lot of the other values is, you know, that come along with the defund the police crowd is like, it should just be peace officers out there everywhere. There is a very extreme portion of that.
Right. That comes along with it. The extreme slogan is what's gained ground in the media. What is happening, practically speaking, when you're talking practically about defunding the police, is just what you said. Reallocation of funds to where the appropriate people are responding to appropriate situations. So this individual, Mr. Glass, didn't need to be approached with anybody with a weapon. He needed to be approached by somebody who knew how to deal with somebody in a mental health crisis. And that's just clearly designating duties, right?
You're right.
There's not a crime. Law enforcement doesn't need to be involved because, frankly, they're not mental health professionals. But we ask them to be mental health professionals a lot. And so clearly outlining that is appropriate.
No, it is. And in the other portion of this, I know that this is one of the conversation pieces too, is like, is it better, you know, could you train police officers on top of all their other training to be, you know, go through the training of handling mental health crisis as well. Like,
they already do.
Right. But not, I mean, not to the same level or extent. Right. And it's hard to differentiate these two, because I can't imagine. But when you've been in these situations of people, you don't know if you're going to get shot. You don't know if you're going to get killed. Like, that's always going to be in the back of your brain when you're walking up to stuff like that. So how do you put that back, push that back and say, this person does not seem like a threat. I am going to handle that with this set of skills instead of this set of skills. So I understand why there would be a need for both, but the more training when it comes to mental health crisis handling and management from police officers that we can get is better, which is the exact opposite of defunding the police. It's putting more money into it for the training of the police officers to handle these situations.
But that then you're saying that law enforcement should be handling these crises.
I think that they need to have some sort of preparation behind it.
Well, they do. And really, what, in my opinion, it should be, is they approach the scene, they realize that this is a mental health crisis, not a crime or anything that needs their intervention, and they call in the response team,
right,
to deal with it, right?
No, I totally get it, but how many times do we see mental health crisis escalate to where a crime does occur? I mean, I don't know what the numbers on that, but I would imagine,
sure,
common sense, that's where it's going to head.
Sure. You're not going to. Yes. Mental health plays a role in a lot of different things.
Yes,
so,
it
yes,
certainly does. Were you surprised by the $19
million? No. No, because if you look at it, it's kind of broken down by agency. So in total, it is the highest settlement, right? But when you look at by agency, it's not necessarily.
Yeah. There was just so many agencies involved there. 8:54 at the time. We'll come back and wrap up hour number three next. But first, let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Micah Kilpatrick.